This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here with my begrudging mum.
Not begrudging.
No?
No. I won't go through the list of things I did over the weekend for you.
No, I appreciated the three rounds of laundry. I did appreciate that.
And
I appreciated the four meals.
And sleeping with your daughter.
You love sleeping with my daughter.
Yeah, I do.
Anyway, is that cherry blossom? Is that blossom or...
Cherry blossom.
What are we having for lunch today, Mum?
We're having sea bream with a kind of anchovy and parsley crust.
Mm-hmm.
You've done salt and vinegar potatoes?
Yes, I had these. These are inspired by... we have an amazing restaurant, albeit the croissants are very expensive, but it's a really brilliant bakery called Jolene, and it's on Newington Green.
They've got a restaurant.
They've got loads. They've got Premier, Weston's Laundry, and I love them all. And Jolene is really delicious. And my husband and I went there when I was overdue, and we had a lunch there. And one of the things, because I was trying to be bloody gluten-free, one of the things that they had was potatoes, ham on, and egg. So I was like, fine, we'll have that. And these potatoes that came out, they were so delicious. And I asked the lady, I said, what have you done to these? Because they taste so delicious. And I said, have they got vinegar on them? She went, oh yeah, they're salt and vinegar potatoes. So I was like, they were like roasted potatoes. So I just kind of thought I'd do the same. So thanks, Jolene, for the idea.
It's a bit like fish and chips.
So yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah. But I'd run out of a bit of, I was using red wine vinegar because I tried them out the other day. I'm sure malt vinegar is probably the best, but I didn't have any and I was worried that we weren't going to get any. So I put a bit of apple cider on and then I'm going to put the red wine on for about 10 minutes before they come out. So you burn it off a bit so it's not so like,
okay.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, they kind of go sweet and delicious.
And we've got asparagus too.
Yeah. And then
I have made a chocolate and courgette cake. Never done this
before. It's massive.
It said it serves 24, but I didn't know how to modify. I didn't know how to modify the recipe.
Well, that's good. And what are we having it with?
Some chantilly cream.
Oh, you're doing chantilly cream?
You only have to put icing sugar in. Have we got a whisk, though?
Yeah, but do you really want to bother doing that? She won't have it anyway. We have a dairy-free guest today. Mum's rolling her eyes.
So the cake's made with oil.
Oh, but I love that when we do stuff with olive oil. So is it olive oil?
No.
Oh.
Sunflower.
Okay, well, olive. We have dairy-free Naina cherry. Nena.
Hello.
Hello. Is that how we say your name?
Nena, yes.
Why do all our Brits say Naina?
Or Nina. Oh, no, that's in America.
They can't say Nina.
No, that's in America.
Awful.
They say Nina Cherry. Hi, how are you doing?
I thought it was Naina.
No, or Naina, or a lot of people call me Nana. But I don't actually really mind. I think people look at the spelling of my name and they just like can't really figure it out.
Where's your name from?
It's from Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone.
So my father was from Sierra Leone. And Nene was his mother's name. And it's a nickname, I believe, from the name Aissatou. So it's kind of a nickname. It means good mother.
Oh, very good. We all want to be a man of that.
Let me choke on my kombucha. Yeah. Yeah, we'll drink to that. We'll drink to you, Mama.
Oh, my God, thanks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, done. And
you're just very sweet. Yeah, he's sleeping at the moment.
He's very sweet.
He's sweet at the moment, but who knows? Like, he doesn't like one of my boobs today, which is just like a new thing. So I was like, please, just be a good boy.
What's wrong with him?
Well, no, there's not much to kind of feast from. No, it's not an exciting pair.
But how old is he?
He's 4.5 weeks. I've struggled so hard with the breast.
4.5.
Yeah, the breastfeeding's been hard, man. Like, I don't know. I think it's even harder. I was saying to you upstairs also, I felt like everything's a bit more jelly this time. Which is fine. I think you just get harder on yourself every time that you... I don't know. More guilty as a mum? I don't know. But I just feel guilty.
What are you guilty
about? I don't know.
What do you feel guilty
about? I don't know. Oh, my God. This is like a therapy session now.
Yeah, like...
No, I'm fine. I just...
I mean, I think, like, okay...
That my boobs aren't working properly, like, you know, things like that.
I understand. I think I've, you know, it's like feelings that we have as mothers, of course, like, on many levels.
I think I feel slightly guilty with my mum, too, for doing it, I think, at the moment.
But I think, like... you know, obviously you're doing your best.
I'm trying. I mean, I think like, and I don't want to talk about Top of the Pops Buffalo Stance too much, but I feel like it's kind of feels like there's a newborn over there. And it was really funny when I was pregnant with my first, I remember kind of apologizing to the record company.
Yeah.
And kind of being like, I'm really sorry, I'm going to have a baby because I really want to be a mum. And they were like, don't. And it became this thing. It was like, don't worry, we'll do a Nene Cherry. It'll be fine. Buffalo Starts. She was on Top of the Pops. Buffalo Starts. So you've become like this poster woman for like every kind of working mother in music and kind of every... I know that you get asked about it all the time. But it just feels so funny that it's become such a kind of... For me, it was... They said, don't worry. Like, Nene Cherry...
It'll be fine?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that that someone said that.
But did you think it was going to be such a statement doing it? Or did you just go, right, my song's really hot right now and I'm going to go on Top of the Pops? Was it... considered,
well, you know,
then?
It was like, but it was just, one of these things. I got pregnant, and I have to admit that in the beginning, it wasn't that I was confused about what I felt and what I wanted, but I sat down and I was kind of asking a lot of questions about, like, is this the right time? What's happening? Like,
right,
why is
time,
this
though,
happen
is
happening right now? I was asking the questions because I felt like I had to ask them, but like in my insides, I knew that I was going to have the baby. And a friend of ours, mine and Cameron's, Ray Petrie, who was kind of the godfather of the sort of Buffalo collective, had HIV. He had AIDS by then. And he was kind of like, look, I'm on my way out. I think you should have the baby, I think. It's like one goes, another life comes in, you know? Mm-hmm. We were sitting in Soho Square and I was like, yeah, like, what the fuck am I thinking about? Like, I know what I want and I know that I can do all of the things that I want to do, probably. And if I can't, I won't do them right now. Mm. But I went to my record, my A&R guy, Ashley Newton at Circa Records, and kind of stood in there, you know, and we'd like only, I generally just signed the contract kind of thing with them.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I was like, Ashley, I'm pregnant.
Isn't it terrible that you feel you have to apologize?
Yeah. I mean, it's
terrible.
Fucking ridiculous.
It's mad.
It's fine. And I was like, don't worry. Just like you said on the phone to your guy or woman. Guy, I've seen, here I go, the guy.
Guy.
And I was like, I'm going to be fine.
I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to work double hard.
Don't worry. It's going to be fine. You know, we'll be able to do, we can always do pictures from even, I think I probably said from the waist up type shit.
Yeah.
Obviously in the end, that was like totally what we didn't do. But, and I think, there was a part of me that was just like so determined to do it and to make it good, that like sometimes when I probably felt fucking exhausted, I didn't really take it in. That's why it's kind of interesting to talk about it, because I think that I haven't actually sometimes reflected on some of the other layers than the kind of the obvious details.
Do you think part of the problem is the music industry is run by men?
Yes.
And so
fuck yeah.
And so they just don't understand. So like, why aren't there more women in music? Running music business.
I mean, it's such a big. I don't know. Like, do you feel like you've got the answer?
I think maybe
that's
going to change, and I think obviously there are some really cool women in really powerful places, and I think that like more women are wanting to occupy those kind of spaces. Mm. I think sometimes women have been driven into other areas, you know, partially because of the boundaries and that it's been so fucking hard to get through. Mm. But I think also more women are also more interested.
Well, look, I mean,
in, you know, like getting in there and
Your daughter, Mabel's manager, is Rada, who I adore, and she's...
And I'm so proud of, you know, like when Mabel rolled in the other day with Rada to eat some leftovers. I'd cooked a dinner
what
for
were you
my...
Eating? What was
well,
the
I'll
leftover?
Tell you what, my grandson turned 15 the other day.
Wow. And you have a grandson?
Yeah, so Jeez. Name him. My eldest.
She's 15!
He just turned 15, it's so crazy. So we, Naima, my eldest daughter, we were like, let's not go out to another restaurant and like spend hundreds of pounds, like with a full table. Let's just like cook at home. Like this is what we do. So I was asked Flynn, like, well, we're going to cook at home. Is that cool? Get everyone over. What do you want to eat? So he basically took about 2 days.
The menu.
Yeah, just to kind of, you know, like he's very... He's thinking a lot, you know, and he was thinking, and then eventually we got on the phone and he was like, I want some brown stew chicken because I never got to have it at Andrea's restaurant before they closed and stuff.
That's Andy Oliver.
Yeah. She's now looking for another joint to open up again. But anyway, he missed the brown stew chicken there. So he said, can I have some brown stew chicken? Can I have your peanut butter stew? I make like a West African peanut butter stew.
Oh, yes.
And he was like, I'd also like some fried chicken. So I fried
chicken. He went to town. Okay.
Andrea's your gorgeous friend on Great British
Andrea
Bake Off.
Andrea is my really...
She's really warm.
She says Andy Oliver has the best smile in the business.
And the best laugh.
But she's
so contagious.
But she's warm. And when... She's kind, isn't she?
I was saying,
if you're a food critic, you've got to be kind a little bit, even if you know better. She was encouraging to all these young
chefs. She's good, right? Because she really comes from the heart and, you know, is really loving.
And how are you friends? How do you know each other?
Oh, my God, we've known each other. I mean, now it's like it's a lifetime. It's so nuts. We're like becoming like some of these people and like, books that we've read that we were obsessed with, like, you know, Maya Angelou books or, you know, we met when we were, I think I was 16, she was 17.
And was it in London?
It was in London. It was in the Middlesex Hospital. Her
what
brother.
You doing there?
Well, I was visiting her brother and she came to visit her brother who was in the hospital, who I was in a band with,
okay.
A band called Rip, Rig and Panic.
Uh-huh.
And basically, it was funny time. So basically, we'd all been to Gaz's Rocking Blues the night before.
Was it in St. Moritz Club then or not?
It was in Gossips, downstairs in Gossips.
Where's
in
that?
Whatever street that is in Soho, like Dean Street, off Dean Street or something. We'd all been out. I'd gone home by some other means, and three of the other guys in the band got in a car, possibly having had a few jars, maybe.
Mm.
Hit the middle of Cambridge Circus. And Sean, he broke his leg and had to have an operation. But he also had sickle cell, so I think it also brought on a sickle cell attack. So he was in hospital with his leg up in a contraption thing. And I used to, I mean, we were all family, but like Sean and I were really good friends. And I used to cook for him and bring him food in the hospital. And like, read, I think. We used to like chat and go and read.
So, I mean, forgive me, I didn't realise you were such a kind of, like, food is at the heart of, it seems like it's very important.
Food to me is...
You didn't, darling, because it would have been more pressure.
Yeah.
But the food is like, for me, is like the centre. Like, I'm not a food snob, but like, when I go somewhere, I think the food that I seek out is like the mama's food. You know, like, I like... soul food. Like, I mean, yes, I like to go to like a fancy restaurant sometime and like, you know, sit in a brasserie and like, you know,
see, have thought you were a bit something. More fussy,
but I'm
you
not
said you were dairy
no
free.
I'm not like
because we have Noomi who we love,
New Me Group has, and she's on a bloody like diet for this thing.
Some crazy meeting.
And it's like,
yeah.
And she's so good at being, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm on the diet. And they're like, oh, fuck it. Yeah, me too. I'll have some cream.
I'll just shove it over there in the corner.
She didn't even eat fruit.
She couldn't eat fruit. Yeah, she's not having fruit at the moment.
Because of the sugar.
Yeah.
Shit.
And it's for a role, and I respect it, but me, I don't have the willpower.
I mean, I have.
She's got a body like a wicket, darling.
Willpower. I mean, she's a friend of mine too, and I adore her. But I think she's quite an obsessive person, I think. I think she's one of those people, she goes into it, and once she's in there, Cameron, my husband, he's like that.
What does Cameron do?
He's a musician, a singer, producer.
Oh, you do everything together?
We've been writing since that first album, Raw Like Sushi.
That's beautiful and quite amazing.
And you get on well still.
Yeah, we're good. Like, we're great friends. I mean, when the shit hits the fan, it's just like, get out of the house, anyone that's around. And people just literally just, because when we go for it quite hard. But I think there's less and less of like the drama around us, actually. I think like that's a really nice part of the journey, is that we've kind of grown out of the ups and downs. We used to have a lot of ups and downs. But
you write together.
We write together.
And he produced...
And I can't write together with anyone else. I've tried, like I do with him, because of all of the things that we have between us. I usually come with something when we go into the writing space together. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes we start from scratch, but I definitely need some time also, like in my own headspace, to formulate something.
Yes.
But he just, you know, helps me bring out the best things.
How did you meet?
We actually met at Heathrow Airport.
Hospitals, airports? But, most important. Who have you met at a petrol station? That's what I want to know.
Good question. That's yet to come.
This is very interesting.
But we were on the same trip. We were like going to Japan.
This is romantic.
And he was part of the... No, we didn't sit next to each other. And for about 3 days, I thought he was possibly a little bit of an asshole or, you know...
And after 3 days, what happened after the 3 days that you thought he was a prat and then...
Well, I didn't really think he was a prat, but, you know, he was, like, very cool.
Oh, he was cool. But
and
cool.
I was like, he thinks he's really cool, doesn't he? And I was like, does he intimidate me? I was like, I'm not intimidated by him. No, he's all right. So I just went out. Anyway, he was sitting on this trolley, you know, an airport thing with, like, a cowboy hat. He was part of the Buffalo kind of crew. He's wearing like jeans with turn ups and, you know, all.
It was a look.
He had a look, definitely. Anyway, we said hi.
But I can only imagine you had a look too. You were wearing?
I think I was wearing but I had no money to like buy stuff.
She is
so, my
so
stuff,
gorgeous, he would have felt intimidated.
Do you think so? I should ask him.
Yeah, he would have thought you were out of it.
I've never asked him that.
He would have thought you were a bit out of his league. So when boys think that, they try and...
Be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they become a bit annoying. So maybe. I think.
So he was on this trolley.
Maybe that's why he's always a bit annoying. he was on the trolley. I said hi. And we were going to model for this guy, Takeo Kikuchi. So this Japanese designer.
Okay.
And in the way that kind of like Comme des Garçons also, they used to do these kind of extravaganza shows where they'd have like, so they wanted like a few people from the streets of London. Some people from the streets of London. You know, they had some hip hop crew from LA, some dancers.
So you were part of a London scene and music was happening and modeling and you're there and you're in Japan and you meet this guy, the cowboy.
This cowboy, yeah. And like after the third day, I think we were going out a lot every night in Tokyo. Everyone was partying pretty hard. And I think on like the second night, we had had a little dance. And take note, it was a nut house this trip. There were like Cameron and James LeBond, this other friend of ours, set off the fire extinguishers on our floor. There were people everywhere. There was,
we're having fun.
And if you went out on the street and looked up at the floor that we lived on, everyone had hung their phones out the window because
we were getting like phone calls every 5 minutes from the Japanese kind of organizers to make sure that we were all on time.
Oh my God, you were just being so naughty.
So it was a nut house. And then we went to, I think after 3 or 4 days, third day, we had the bus journey. We went to another city and we just started talking. And he was wearing shades on the bus, like in the dark kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I could just see the you know, a bit of the, you know, his blue eyes breaking through the glass. And I was like, uh-oh. Like, I'm getting those eyes. They're, like, killing me. So that was the start of that.
Have you been back to Japan together?
With Cam? No, we haven't. I've been back. I went back with Mabel. But I haven't been with Cam. Yeah, maybe we should. We're going this summer.
Go renew your vows there or something.
Oh, my God.
I hadn't even
thought about that.
Mate.
It's like, God, Japan, where we met. Okay.
Think of me as your Ricky Lake.
Okay, darling. Thank you so much.
Cilla Black.
Have you lived in England forever? Or, yeah.
Well, I came here in 80.
That's a long time.
So that's when you were 14?
16. Oh, so I came here, I was like 15. I think I was like 16 when I came
to... So where were you
living
before there?
Just before I came here, I was in New York. But I'm like raised between Sweden and New York.
And you live in London now?
Now I live in London. And then for like 10 years, we came back 5 years ago. For 10 years, I went back to live in Sweden. I was living in Stockholm with my two younger kids. I mean, we've been a bit restless.
What was the reason to go back to Stockholm?
Schools wanting to give the kids like better education.
Is it brilliant?
Without having to literally queue up with a bunch of Range Rovers and, you know, pay millions and billions of pounds every term, right? In comparison to here, you have a lot more choice.
Were you educated in Sweden?
I was educated in Sweden and a bit in the States.
Yeah.
But my family traveled a lot.
What did your parents do?
My stepdad was a jazz musician musician. He's starting in jazz and then
Don
he sort
Cherry.
Of...
Yes.
And then my mother was an artist also. They collaborated and worked together for quite a long time when we were growing up. And she made a lot of the kind of environments for the stage. So my mother, like in the 70s, worked with material, with cloth, and made tapestries that they used to...
Don would tour with and like...
And she was kind of in the group and she would build these environments with her or hang the pieces on the stage. So it would be a whole kind of universe, which was kind of amazing. And I guess maybe some of my... Of course, it's affected me. Like, that's where I came up. That's how I came up. So I think that notion of, like, when I got pregnant with Naima, my firstborn, I was 18, you know, and I was, like, in a group. I went to Sweden, had her with her dad, came back, and 6 weeks after she was born, we went on tour. And, I mean, we were in a van, like in a Ford Escort kind of type thing. And I had and I was just like, okay, I'm going to try this. Like, I grew up in a family where we moved around a lot, but my mother and the kind of unit of who we were as a family was always there. Mm. So I was like, well, if I can keep my child secure and keep our routines going, we should be able to do this anywhere in theory. So I was like, well, we'll try it. I was like, well, obviously, if Naima is falling apart, so will I be, then we'll go home. But like my mother said when I was 18 and got pregnant with Naima, she was just like, don't shut your life down, you know? Don't make two separate lives, like, make it all one.
And like, how do your girls talk about it? Do they talk about it really fondly and kind of...
I think there's a mixture of feelings, like in my own upbringing. Like, some of it's really hard. And, you know, we went to live in Spain when Tyson was 4 and Naima was older. And I think there were like some really amazing aspects of us living in the mountains in Spain.
Wow. Why did you live there? Was it just for?
I think we've just always been
you just
those
around.
Kind of people. We've moved around, like maybe sometimes a bit too much, but like kind of looking for something, you know, a different way of life. And it was kind of fun. Like everyone came to us. Tricky was around a lot, but like in that time, it was amazing. After about 4 or 5 years, I kind of started to miss London. And like for Naima, who was 13 then, it was really difficult for her being a teenager and stuff around there. So we moved back. I always end up back here.
Right, okay.
Particularly when it's kind of time to work or time to get into the sort of the creative headspace. But having said that, I did a lot in Spain. I mean, we wrote basically the whole of what became the Man album.
Amazing.
While we've been chatting, Mum has been in the kitchen. Thank you, Mum. Oh, yeah, raised eyebrows right there. And
somehow
she's managed to whip up some oven baked sea bream. And Mum, is it with breadcrumbs and parsley and some chili?
It's anchoia.
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 I don't know what anchoia.
What is anchoia?
I don't know, but it's got a bit of anchovy in it.
Kind of, oh my god, it looks so good.
With some salt and vinegar potatoes, which I hope I haven't tasted them, so they may need more salt and vinegar. Or they may.
I'm really excited because I'm really hungry.
Oh god, yeah. I'm sorry that we made you wait so long.
No, this is good. This is we've worked up an appetite.
Do you want any wine? Oh, you're not drinking at the moment.
No, okay, no fine. Wine.
Do you
I'm
want
great.
Some wine,
Mum?
I was reading something about how you kind of set up a Notting Hill. It's like, well, no, like Carnival. It's like
your house
becomes a hub for all family and friends to use the loo because nobody can use bloody loos anywhere. So like, are you letting strangers use the loos too? Or is it like...
Not too many strangers.
Some of those strangers, like... No. Yeah, no, the people that like you pay to go to the loo, I've done that plenty
of times. A couple of people tried to come in last year.
Did you say,
like,
are you
hang
desperate?
Out in the toilet. And if they'd have been, like, cool about it and asked in a nice way, but they were just, like...
Rude.
Being really rude and obviously trying to get in to possibly do more than just use the loo. So
yeah.
We were like, nah.
Do you like Carnival?
I love Carnival.
Have you performed at Carnival?
I have performed at
what
Carnival.
What did you do?
I played with Rip Regan Panic, like, 100 years ago. And it was quite. It's
what,
quite.
Like
it was
sound
quite.
System
we
won.
No, we just played on one of the stages, and I mean, our music was kind of quite nuts. So I'm quite surprised that we actually played there. But yeah, played there, and then I DJed once, and that was a bit freaky, frightening. Actually, I felt
really?
A bit out of place because I didn't.
What intimidating?
Yeah, just like, you know, I'm like I DJ sometimes. I'm not really a DJ. Like yeah. I play tunes. And I just felt a bit, I'm just kind of, yeah, at the best of days, I'm a selector. Do you know what I mean? So I just remember being there and just kind of losing my bottle, looking at all these people on the street, like, oh my God, like now I've got to turn it out.
Was
and, like,
it not,
drop
was it a
good
chin. Set? Or?
It was all right. I only played like about 5 or 6 songs. And I remember I actually learned a lesson that day because I had these tunes that I wanted to play and... Yeah. That I thought would be really good. And then I was sort of talking to a friend of mine about, well, what do you think I should play? And he made some suggestions and I kind of changed my little rota around and played some of the tunes that he thought I should
and
play.
Did they go down
and
well?
I think my tunes would have been better actually.
All right, so I'm gonna push you on this one.
Oh,
you're
dear.
Going away for 6 months to a desert island, a retreat. What's your meal going to be before you go off?
Oh, this is the question.
And will there be dairy?
When,
if dairy wasn't an issue?
You know what? I don't think that I really miss dairy anymore.
Okay, fine.
So I probably wouldn't, except something that I really love, which is sole meunière.
Oh, yeah.
Which is swimming
that.
In butter.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
with spinach.
Yeah.
I mean, that is like, I mean, when I go and that's one of my like dream things
that's
that I like
dream.
To do.
Okay.
Nice French brasserie, linen tablecloths.
Yeah. Starter.
I think actually now you've also reminded me of like dream food. We were in Sardinia a few years ago.
I love Sardinia.
Italian food is actually,
yeah.
Speaking of, to me, it's really yeah. soulful. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, you can take like a spoon of olive oil and just be like, this is amazing. Or eat a tomato. It's like, yes, it's a fruit.
Yeah,
amazing.
It tastes actually like tomato, yeah.
We went to, there was a festival in southern Sardinia. And it was kind of dedicated to my dad. So it was an amazing summer because it was the last year before my mom died. And she had an exhibition there. And we were all there and we all like performed a bit. Eagle Eye was there, my brother, Tyson, Naima was there helping my mom with the art. And the guy who runs the festival And lots of the jazz guys that have known my mother for, you know, 30, 40 years were like treating her like a queen. They were like, hey, Moki, yeah, amazing. It was so beautiful. I'm so thankful that we had that journey. And his wife, Novella, ran or runs a restaurant right by the beach. I mean, it was just off the hook. And of course, as it was Italy every day, even when there was lots to do, it was like, we are breaking for lunch. It's like, what about all the stuff, the sound checks and the, it's okay. We have lunch.
I love that. It's so great.
And it's not like and a short lunch. No, It'll be like just starters.
Yeah. And so there, they had their own dried tuna.
Dried tuna?
Yeah. Which she would just put a little bit of olive oil on for a starter. And they would bring it. So good. And literally, like, she would bring all these, like, whatever they'd fished out that day. But that starter...
So dry tuna, is it like carpaccio of tuna?
It's like, you know, you can get like it. They do it in Spain and Portugal too, and it's called mojama, I think.
I don't know.
M-O-J-A-M-A, if I'm right.
I've seen the word.
And you just slice it really thinly. And she would just, this woman, Novella, her mum made the olive oil.
Oh, so made like, the olive
oil. Yeah, Jesus, from their little farm. And the wine was from somewhere else, excuse me. And that was probably like on my list of like food. It was like kind of gourmet. It was like very sensual, but like full of soul.
Mm.
And just sitting there with the kind of salty sea air and like all these people. And she made her own limoncello. So after dinner, after lunch, we'd all drink limoncello.
I never really liked limoncello. But it was nice with the cream.
Speaking of cream, she made it with
a creamy one with milk in. Wow.
It's really good. Or cream or something, which was really good.
And dessert? Your favorite dessert?
Are you a sweet girl?
I'm not a big... I'd probably say something like... like a toffee thing.
Mm.
Like the other day, we went on my birthday and ate at the Clapton Country Club, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
I had a really nice Sunday lunch, which is one of my favorite things.
Me too.
Love Sunday lunch.
Which roast do you like the best?
I like beef.
Yeah, me too.
If it's like soft, absolutely, good beef with a Yorkshire pudding. Oh my God. Good gravy. Love gravy.
Love gravy.
So, but good. A dessert... That was the last kind of dessert the last dessert that I really like put myself into, and that was like a kind of sticky toffee kind of type thing.
Oh yeah, I love that.
But and I don't think you can have sticky toffee without the clotted cream or the cream.
No, that's when I like break off and go off piste, and I can do that because I'm not allergic to dairy.
But you feel like shit.
But
after
I just
it.
Feel no, I didn't feel that bad because most of the time I behave quite well, so my body's. Can tolerate, but I have a weakness. I get bronchitis, so if I like abuse myself with dairy and stuff,
do you think dairy causes it?
It brings down my lowers my immune system, and it more mucus and blah. But also, my stomach doesn't really approve that much. But I'm good. Like when it's worth it, then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go for a bit of clotted cream.
And what would you drink? What would you drink
with that meal?
Yeah.
I don't think she's a big drinker.
I used to love a glass of wine. I mean, let's not lie, or a glass of champagne. But it doesn't really work for me so well anymore. But I'd say if I was gonna, like in my old school era of Sunday roast beef with a Yorkshire pudding and a really good glass of red wine would be great.
Can I ask, you know how people are stockpiling for Brexit? If there was one thing from Europe that you thought that you needed to stockpile, what would you do?
Olive oil.
Me too. Mm.
Yeah.
I think
because
it's
I love salt. So I was going to say, it was like salt, but Maldon salt is my favourite. It would be like good olive oil.
Yeah. Are you a stickler for table manners? Do you have expectations?
I like good table manners.
What's the worst table manner that you think?
Well, I mean, I've always been like my kids, like I've been sitting a little bit today. Like I said, like they're at a bus stop, a bus station. I'm like, sit up straight. I hate it when people eat and don't look up from the plate. Ooh. You know, like this kind
like
of thing,
shoveling it in,
head down, and feeling like they're eating so fast that they're not actually tasting it.
That would be me.
You can't share with Jessie because she eats it before you.
Next time we go out for dinner, Nanette, I will
slow down.
Don't have a sharing.
I think it's the same from being a mum. It's like I'm stressing.
You're very slow. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but now I'm talking. No, I wouldn't eat this slow normally. I've just been like talking.
I've made a chocolate and courgette cake.
Mm.
And it's got no dairy in.
Amazing.
Will you have a little bit?
Tiny bit.
I'd love to have a bit.
With some raspberries.
Mm.
Okay, fine.
But can I have a cup of tea?
Yes. What kind of tea would you like?
Something herbal.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mum has made
yeah
a cake
yeah
that's as light as a feather.
Yep.
She's iced it.
I can't even.
And let's just for the record, Nenna's having a little bit of creme fraiche just because why not? Because it's shit without it.
Because it's shit without it.
Yeah.
And this just demanded a little taste. I know it's worth it. Totally. So I'm doing it.
I haven't asked you about growing up. What food was like in your house? Like, did your mum cook or did your stepdad cook? And if so, what were they cooking? Like, what is the kind of family childhood meal memory that you have?
My mother cooked. My dad didn't really cook.
Mm-hmm.
My mother learned to cook from my father, so my biological father.
Yeah.
When they were together, he was a great cook.
And was it a lot of Sierra Leone?
He cooked a lot of African.
Okay, African food. Yeah.
And Sierra Leonean, inspired.
What is like special in Sierra Leone? What's their kind of go-to dish?
They have a dish called gringring, which I love, which is okra.
Mm. Yeah, I love okra.
Mm. And it's like very slimy. They cook it.
Some people hate it.
I love it.
That's what she doesn't love.
Me too. I roasted some okra yesterday, and it turned out really good. Not so slimy. But the gringring is like a leaf. Cassava leaf or potato leaf, they call it, but it's like a spinachy kind of leaf. So it's okra, spinach, onion, seasoning, obviously, dried fish and meat cooked into it. I mean, it's just like, and it's quite spicy. And then we went through, like, my parents were all vegetarian.
Mm.
And so we were, you know, there was a whole period when we were growing up when there was a lot of, you know, brown rice and lentils and miso and...
Oh, God.
And all of that stuff. And I was like, I had a nose for meat.
Which country was this in?
Between Sweden and New York. Like, my parents bought an old schoolhouse in the countryside in Sweden. And, you know, their thing was really like wanting to go kind of off grid, you know, and like be self-sufficient, grow their own food, having a place where musicians and artists could meet and make and create and... It wasn't a commune, like, don't get me wrong. Like, my house was not a commune, but there were always a lot of people
there. How many people?
Coming through.
How many people?
It depends. Like, sometimes we would maybe be 5 or 6 for dinner. Sometimes we'd be, like, 19 or 20.
Bloody hell.
And somehow my mother managed to keep it all together. And, you know, there were times when people would come and stay. Like, my mother tell this funny story of, like, the limit. But some people had stayed at our house for a couple of weeks during the summer. And the wife and this couple was like very sort of militant about this whole sort of whole food scene. And my mother had started taking her little camping kitchen into her studio to make her daily pot of espresso, because this woman was like, no one can drink any coffee, you know, this whole thing.
She was hiding.
So my mother would take her Gauloise, you know, and her black coffee, go and sit behind her sewing machine and, you know, in her studio and drink her coffee. And then one day she came into the kitchen and these people had made like dandelion pancakes or something. And she was just like, okay, that's it.
Get out.
No more kind of thing. Get out. So that went on for a few years. And then she just decided like one day that it was time to roast the chicken. And I'll never forget that day. It was amazing.
Best day of your life?
It was fabulous. She'd put a chicken in the oven and literally some of our friends turned up in the yard. And I can remember like coming over to visit. I can remember opening the window, like screaming out the window, we're going to have chicken.
That's amazing.
But she made amazing food. And so in a way, like almost every day when I do stuff, I realize how much my mother gave me. Like, and actually by the time I left home when I was 16, even though I was a little runt and I obviously thought that I was bigger than I was quite equipped from being around
so
my mother.
Left home at 16?
Yeah.
You left New York at 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
Came here on your own?
I came here to visit my friend Ari.
And just never left.
Who was a singer in the Slits. And then I just kind of ended up hanging out. I wasn't going to school. We became like really, really, really good friends, but kind of like sisters where we were like, you know, spooning, sleeping back to back, sharing clothes, sharing everything. So I just stayed. And then
was your mum annoyed that you left school?
No, I think my mother, when I kind of unofficially left school, was kind of relieved because I was just like,
but you're so bright.
Do you think so?
Oh, I do.
I mean, I lack things.
You're thoughtful and bright.
Oh,
and
bless you.
You're interested and read and, yeah.
Well, that was my thing when I left school. My mother was like, if you're not going to go to school for a while, I want you to read these books. Like, you have to read and do stuff. You can't just, like, lie around. So she gave me things like Isaac Bashevis' Singer books, 100 Years of Solitude.
Oh, best book.
You know, James Baldwin, like, so I was like reading all those books and then we'd kind of talk about them. And like before, when I was still going to school, I was going to a little like small town school where we lived in Sweden. And I was just miserable and I just felt really out of place. And I started hanging out with these kind of rough local so-called roughnecks that were kind of semi-racist. They're kind of like a gang, but not really. But, you know, they drive old American, like, vintage cars and, like, listen to 50s and 60s music and, like, literally then, you know, some of them have, like, quiffs and it's, like, really when they drive around
in
their car. This is in Sweden. So I
What's
was, like...
What's they called?
Raggare.
What does that mean? What does that word mean?
Like, toe rag or something. Or like,
okay, so they think they're, like, the T-birds.
So they're kind of like, you know, like driving around in a lot of small towns, like trying to, you know, scare the shit out of people or something. So that was like the most dangerous thing I could kind of get myself into.
Did you
at that
have
point.
To dress up in like?
No. I mean, there's no like policy that you have to like dress up
but
as
maybe
a.
Maybe they were like the bad boys.
But they were the bad boys. Basically, the local.
The girls are always attracted to the bad boys. So that boys was. For us, you know, the ones that spin the. At the fairground.
Yeah, the edge. Trying to get out to the edge. And then it was just like. Not really that cool, and it wasn't really making me particularly happy, and I definitely didn't feel particularly fulfilled or, you know, any of those things. So I just got up one morning and I actually had a horrible hangover because I'd been out at some like weird disco by a lake and I'd like drank all this vodka that someone had in the trunk of his car. It was like so depressing. And I got back somehow and I woke up in the morning and I was like feeling really sick. And I just got sick all over the kitchen. I'd literally just been drinking water, but my mom was like in another room and somehow luckily I managed to clean it up. And then I think I just went into her because I was going to stay. We have some family friends that live near to us and I was going to stay with them for the winter whilst my mother went to New York because we were doing kind of half-half. And I was like, I decided to stay to go to school.
I think after that incident in the kitchen, I just went into my mother. I was like, I'm coming with you to New York. And when she went to my head teacher at the school that I was going to, she was actually like, good, get her out of here. Yeah, she was like, make her leave. And then, yeah, like then I became a punk, like literally, been in London.
And hang around with Basquiat?
I didn't hang around with him. Okay. I used to see him in New York.
Did you used to go to Paradise Garage and stuff?
I went to Paradise Garage a few times.
Did you go to Studio 54?
Never went to Studio 54. That was after, wasn't it? But they were older than me. Like me and my friends that went to the clubs, we started going out young. We were like 14, 15. But we knew everyone at like the Mud Club, Tier 3, Hurrahs. We could always get in. There was this one great guy, Harry Monty, that was like the main doorman at like Danceteria and stuff. And he was always like, let the kids in, you know, let them in. But yeah, there's one thing, like one night we went to a party and Basquiat and, you know, the white haired
Warhol,
Andy yeah. Warhol. They were like at the back. It was like in Basquiat's loft downstairs and on the like storefront loft. And there was like a DJ and we were like, they were all down at the back. They'd ordered like Mr. Chow's takeaway at the back and like all of him and Warhol and his mates were all back there. And the rest of the party was like down where all his paintings were stored, which was a trip.
Amazing.
In racks.
Wow.
The DJ, yeah. So I didn't know him, but like you'd see him around in the
You've lived
city.
Like the most exciting life.
But you know, it's just that I'm kind of old. Yeah. It's like
you're not old.
I mean,
why do you look younger than me?
Shit, please. It's like
how old are you?
55,
baby girl.
Fuck,
you look amazing.
Yeah,
thank you. Bless you. I feel very tired at the
I
minute.
Wondered why you were going through menopause. She said she's going through menopause.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay.
I thought, but she's like 40-odd.
Mm. For a few years now.
It 2 years?
I started menopause at 54.
It goes on for that long?
Yeah.
That's quite late.
Yeah, it was late. It's odd.
It's weird.
It is so strange. And I absolutely think the hormones that you lose when you don't have a period... It makes you feel good, those hormones that
what,
when you're...
having a period?
Really? The ones that make you ovulate.
Oh, really?
Are the hormones that make you feel useful, to be honest. So I'm not surprised you're...
It's weird.
Do you have hot...
I'm like the last... Well, it comes and goes.
I never have
the hot
things.
And I haven't been
having
them during the day.
I only have them at night. You get night sweats,
which are
horrendous.
The night sweats are dread. Like, the last few nights have been fine, but I had a couple nights... Or literally a couple of weeks where I was just, I mean, not just sweaty.
Just
like
you have
drenched.
To change your whole
like,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, like completely
but the other thing is your thermostat doesn't really work very well. Do you remember I used to say, is it hot in here or is
yeah,
it me?
Yeah, that was her.
Constantly I was hot, but I'm not hot anymore.
No, it gets better. And I think like a couple of years ago, I also kind of like really gave me the blues. I literally had like three kind of psychotic experiences. And I realized afterwards that my menopause, like the fear and the anxiety that I had, and like I'm awkward and I'm like shy, but like I haven't really suffered. I'm not the sort of person that gets really like neurosis or really, really freaked out generally, or I've just been quite good at covering it up. But I was like had these overwhelming like anxiety attacks that just sent me into a kind of whirlwind of total, yeah, like
were you
really literally.
At the time?
No, thank luckily goodness. Not.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in retrospect, when I kind of came out the other side, I was like, shit, actually, probably some of this is hormonal stuff. And then I felt really kind of almost embarrassed that I didn't have more insight and understanding of like, what is happening to me.
Don't people talk about
no,
it.
No, not even women.
People don't
it
talk about anything.
But isn't it strange? I think it's quite strange, like that we don't talk about these things
yeah.
more. I talk about everything with my sisters, my friends. And I feel lucky and blessed because I have older and younger friends. You know, I like a lot of my mother's closest friends have become my really close friends. But I just realized, I don't know. I was like, I don't know anything about what's happening
no,
to me.
No, you don't.
And like, I didn't want to know. And I've had that whole fear. And I was like, God, I am carrying this kind of like, oh, you know, this hangover of it being like kind of unsensual, like that it's a kind of sell-by date that you're nearing. And that on the other side, it's like, oh, yeah, but that's it. Then you're kind of not fertile and therefore kind of done.
It's a horrible thing.
So it's like invisible, like a kind of invisible. And then, yeah, it's remarkably absurd how where it's
kind of an ending of something.
And I felt quite sad.
Yeah.
I was like, as much as I've struggled with my periods and, you know, being premenstrual and all that, I felt really empty. So, yeah. I was like, and at the same time, you know, my youngest child was moving out, and then all of a sudden it was like, kind of, she was still at home, but, you know, she's moved out and I'm really happy for her. But it was like, I was like, okay, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? And like, how do I, like, the idea of like, oh, I still have a lot of things to do and that's great and I still feel vital and now I'm going to do all this stuff, just I can spend lots of time thinking about me. And I was like, you know, how do I do that? And is that what I want to do?
No, no, I tell you something, it doesn't change. They come back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And then they need you in a different way. And yeah.
No, I feel much better. I feel, even though I'm still going through
this child never wants to sleep.
You can change his nappy.
I'll change his nappy when we're not having lunch.
Face.
I'm going to put him in the sling.
Have you covered him?
It's good, isn't it? So pleased.
I want to ask you though. You say that, you know, menopause, and you felt, and your daughter moving out, and you kind of felt like, what's going on? I've got all this time to kind of. You had an album coming out. You've got, but did it just not feel as kind of sweet to be doing work?
And no, it felt really important. Okay. Because I think actually making the album saved me.
Yeah.
Because I did feel like I had all this stuff hanging around me that I needed to kind of get out. And actually at the other side of it, and actually inside of myself the whole time, there was also a niggling voice that was just like, I know that this isn't it. Do you know what I mean? I'm going through something, and going through changes is a difficult process, like getting over a threshold in your life, and life is full of them, right? And this was another threshold. And I knew that I'm not, you know, I'm not someone like that's going to succumb to fucking ageist hypocrisy. Like, I know that at the other side of this, I'm a vital woman. Me and Andy were actually saying recently, like, it's great in a way, we're doing our best work.
I think it's really inspiring because I think you're making brilliant music and you're doing bless it in your you. Own your own terms. The album's beautiful and I love how kind of it tells stories and other people's stories and yours and you, my name is Nana? And
yeah.
I don't know. It felt so special and exciting.
I think, yeah, like when we wrote, we just had a really amazing kind of journey, Cam and I, like we just literally really found a space. Well, we just kind of, like, the outside world just kind of left us alone. And we just...
It sounds like that.
And we just did, like, 10, 12 songs quite quickly. And then Kieran Hebden, Forte, is a genius.
I love him.
He's a genius. And I felt like he managed to do... What he managed to do was kind of bring all of the elements from kind of the other albums into this one, into the soundscape. So it felt very much like doing a full circle, which I think was really nice.
I really... Thank you for doing because we could keep on chatting. Thank you.
Food was amazing.
Good, good, good.
I need the cake recipe.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. And
it was for 24 people. We have eaten about 12.
Do you want to take some home for Cam? Yeah. Now take that cake to Cameron and say that I demand that you go to Japan soon to relive when you first met.
Yeah, I'm going
to
tell him. Thank you for having me.
And congrats on a great record.
And bless you. And congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you. My son just had a photo with an icon.
I know, darling. She's a fantastic woman.
And so interesting, and just has lived such an interesting life. And I felt very honoured that she decided to have lunch with us.
Too. I mean, she's a real woman's woman.
Yeah, girl's girl.
Yeah.
And the food was really good today, Mum.
Good.
The simplicity.
You might think it's simple, darling. No, but there's what a lot I'm of saying, skill goes in there.
No, there was something very clean about it. It felt quite like Master Chef-y, full of flavour.
Yeah, but you plan, know, darling.
No, obviously.
Yes.
Asparagus had the right crunch.
Yep.
That was really good.
Yep.
And that cake is, I think that could be your bring a cake to a party dish.
Yeah.
That was heaven.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
It was
could
light.
Could you tell they had courgettes in it?
No.
I think it's just for moisture.
Maybe I'll give it to my girl tonight, my little girl.
Of course. She'll be so happy.
Chocolate. Would you like some chocolate cake?
Chocolate.
How annoyed are you that she had the creme fraiche with the cake?
Dairy free.
But Mum, thank God for Nenna. You've just got a brilliant new cake up your sleeve.
Yeah, it's true.
A dairy free cake.
Yeah, it's a good cake.
It's a bloody
really
good one.
I'm really pleased with it.
Thank you so much for listening to Table Manners. What a treat to have Nenna Cherry on and just kind of listen to everything.
Her
that
stories.
She had. Yeah, her stories are so brilliant. And I do think she should go to Japan very soon with Cameron McVey. And Mum, thank you. That was a really good lunch. Mm. The Table Manners music you have been enjoying is by Pete Fraser and Peter Duffy. And our dear editor and producer is Alice Williams.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.